on the screen in front of you are four pictures or images. Top left, a incomprehensibly large galaxy far away. Top right, some artist renditions of some various bacteria. Bottom left, a group of terrorists before their attack or before they strike. Bottom right, a loving mother. What do they have in common? Now, Weston may know, my grandson, because he was looking over my shoulder the last day or two. But I would be surprised if anyone else in the audience would be able to figure out what these things have in common. As we'll see in a few moments, yes, indeed, they do have something in common. As was announced, I'd like to likewise welcome everyone to services today. As we said, Alan is out of town. Several people have stepped forward. Brian and Virgil. Rob will be preaching tonight. There's a roster in the back. If you want to get insight into who's kind of filling in his absence this morning, you get me. And so hopefully we'll have something that's kind of interesting, useful, memorable. I mean, I try to make it memorable. Sometimes it's kind of silly, but we'll see. What do these three things have in common? Okay, well, here comes a clue. Modern technology, in many ways, is wonderful. It allows us to see things that we've never been able to see before, quite simply, in the physical world. I mean, through telescopes, through Hubble Space Satellite Telescope, etc., we can see things with the eyes out in the universe that you can't see. Because they're so, even though they're huge, they're so far away, they're so small, look small, can't see them. As Psalm 19 declares, at least at that time what they could see, stars, etc., the heavens declare the glory of God, in the very large. Likewise, in the very small, technology, microscopes, scanning microscopes, etc., allow us to see an entire universe, if you will, of the small. Within viruses, bacteria, cells, etc., and even smaller than that. Cells within the body, etc., which reminds me of, Psalms 139. I think it was David talking about being fearfully and wonderfully made of all these different little things that are going on that you can't see. Well, he couldn't see, but through inspiration, he could. But we, in some ways, can see these things today through technology. It's great. Very, very large, very, very small. Both invisible without the use of technology. There's some other things that, they may not be purely invisible, but, we tend not to see them. We tend not to take notice of them. I mean, all kinds of things going on in the soil, worms and other bacteria, they're breaking down the soil to create nutrients for plants, all kinds of bugs and insects, some of which are, kind of quietly doing their job that, God intended, and it's a beneficial, helpful kind of thing. Bees that are pollinating and other insects that are pollinating, plants and flowers and making honey, etc., as well as insects that, have a more, harmful kind of function, at least from our perspective, mosquitoes carrying disease, the cousins of the ants, kind of enriching the soil and aerating the soil, but they, have like cousins that are like termites. They're like, chewing through the wood in your house, those kinds of things. But those kind of things, kind of similar. I mean, they're there, they're visible, but we tend not to notice them. I mean, clean water, electric power, sewer system. I mean, you flush the toilet and your waste goes away and just disappears. It's great. But there's all kinds of systems behind that we tend not to notice, tend not to see, tend to be invisible. And there are other things that, we can see them, but do we really understand there's invisible aspects of them that may be doing us harm? In this particular example, quote-unquote junk food, may not notice it, may not see it, but, if you look more closely, you see there are some, harmful things potential, as well as in these other areas, harm, quietly behind the scenes, or potential benefit behind the scenes. Okay. This morning we want to talk about the invisible. Now, your first thought, particularly if you're younger, might be thinking in terms of, superheroes, right? You know, the Incredibles, Invisibles, whatever. No, we're not talking about a new group of superheroes. But some of these people are doing what's right. And we're not talking about a new group of supervillains. But some of these people are doing things that are wrong and harmful. The Invisibles that we're going to focus on today. Now, we talked about technology reveals in the physical world things that are unseen, things that are invisible. The Bible, correspondingly, reveals many things that are spiritually unseen, spiritually invisible, that we would not normally see with our normal perception. And that's really where we're going to focus our attention today. Really, there's four kind of classes or four categories we want to talk about. First of all, people who may be doing good, kind of quietly behind the scenes, and unless we're careful, we may take them for granted. To counterbalance that, in that particular case, we need to be aware and need to be thankful. Second class, there are others who may be quietly doing things behind the scene, but that are harmful. And likewise, we may not realize that as well. Likewise, we need to be aware. Likewise, we need to beware. Third class, now applying to ourselves, now there are situations we get into where we may be tempted to be seen, but we better make ourselves invisible, so to speak, figuratively speaking. And likewise, situations where we may be tempted to be kind of, you know, invisible, where we better be seen. Four classes. So the rest of the lesson this morning will kind of focus on each one of these four with various examples. And we'll see what we can learn from that. So the answer to the question of what do the big galaxies and the little microbes and the somewhat invisible terrorists before they strike, as well as the loving mother, have in common? Okay, you should probably have it by now. All right, let's talk about the first category. People who are invisibly, relatively quiet behind the scenes doing good that we may take for granted. Well, one group that comes to mind are various, we'll call them law enforcement people. Local police, you may want to extend that to the federal level with, you know, judges and the FBI, prison officials, you know, members of the intelligence community, they're gathering intelligence on our enemies, the Department of Defense, those who serve in the military, etc. And in many ways, they're just kind of quietly behind the scenes, you know, doing what needs to be done. In many ways, you know, we're kind of the direct beneficiaries of that, and we may not even realize it. At least since kind of the 60s, there's been somewhat of a cultural, I don't know if revolution is the right manner, you know, kind of against authority, questioning authority, you know, kind of anti-military, you know, questioning or condemning the president, etc. And we need to kind of be careful. You know, if you look over in Romans chapter 13, the first seven verses, in the previous chapter, you may recall, you know, it talks about, you know, don't take your own personal revenge against evildoers. But then immediately rolls into chapter 13, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, and goes on to say, for he is God's minister for you, to you for good, if you're doing good. And he goes on to, you know, talk about, you know, rendering to evildoers, protecting those who are doing good, punishing those who are doing evil. Render therefore to all their due, and goes on to talk about honor for whom honor is due, etc. So a class of people we may not tend to notice, but quietly doing their work, we benefit. We need to be aware. We need to be thankful for their activities in protecting the good. Here's another class of people we may take for granted. Wives, mothers, and even single parents. You know, one of the first things that caught my attention when I trying to think of a lesson to bring. Noah's wife. Name's not given. And to be very candid, you know, her activities are not described. But in my own mind, I don't envision Noah building this structure all by himself, you know, gathering the necessary food and other provisions for the animals, and cooking meals for his family and, you know, doing all these things all by himself. I just don't see that. You know, going on behind the scenes, quietly, I would suspect his wife and, you know, daughters-in-law are doing all kinds of things that just, you know, weren't recorded. In similar manners, I'm emphasizing, you know, wives and mothers, etc., because, you know, we men, okay, I'll raise my hand there too, you know, tend to let them take care of that. Let them take care of the house and the cooking and the cleaning and the laundry and the kids and etc. And like, I like this picture on the bottom left corner, you know, sitting on the couch taking it easy. Got to be careful about that. Wives and mothers. And also by extension, you know, often there are more public roles, if you want to call that, within the church, you know, preachers and elders and deacons and the people here that, you know, work on the website and answer questions, whatever. But there's also going on behind the scenes, those that are supportive of that, supporting that, enabling that to occur. Wives of those kind of people. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about both husbands and wives. Husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. But no one ever hateth his own flesh, nourishes, cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. You know, quietly doing things behind the scenes, may take for granted. Watch out. Need to be aware of that. Need to be thankful for this class of invisibles, if you wish. And as I was saying before, wives, mothers, single parents who have to do both roles, as an example. Others we can take for granted. Titus 2, 3 through 4, within the context, talk about older women and admonishing younger women. You know, how many congregations take advantage of older, more mature women? How many younger women take advantage of the more mature, older women to, you know, learn about the various things we're talked about in Titus? Or are they just taken for granted? Or are they, you know, somewhat invisible, so to speak? Ultimately, taking for granted, got to be careful. You know, you can't see God. You see his handiwork. But, you know, he's also invisible. Romans 1, 20 through 21. Notice the very end of that particular passage. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. It's so easy to take God for granted because you can't see him. You can't see him, you know, going around doing, you know, various things. Or the things he's put into place that, you know, we benefit from every day. Better watch it. We may slide into a mindset of taking him for granted. Okay, so that's sort of the first class of the four. We'll move forward into the second class of the four. Likewise, somewhat invisible, likewise, somewhat unseen, but not doing us good, more doing us harm. So this is a little more serious. And we may not realize it. One class that, you know, occurred to me, generally speaking, within, you know, public education, some school teachers, some school board policies, some peers that our children, you know, become familiar with, there can be some influence going on there. And as parents, you know, secondarily as grandparents, better watch it. Better watch it. I mean, there's all kinds of influence, training, you know, classroom exercises, whatever, going on with respect to things like diversity and inclusiveness as, in some ways, a cover for pro-homosexuality or, quote-unquote, evolution, situation ethics that was talked about recently, attitudes about dress, speech, authority, language, you name it, you know. If you count the number of, and this is kind of sobering, if you count the number of hours per day that our children, grandchildren, are in those kind of environments, receiving that kind of instruction, that kind of influence, that kind of guidance, versus the number of hours in the day that, you know, we're with them, we're getting, you know, we're giving them influence, we're giving them guidance, whatever. Be careful. They spend a lot of hours in those kind of environments. Do we know what's going on? Are we doing things to perhaps counteract it, etc.? Need to be careful. Here's another group of people that you wouldn't think are doing us harm. Successful people. I mean, in our culture, what tends to be the definition of a successful person? Well, if you ponder that for a moment. Yeah. People who, you know, attain relatively high positions in the business world, or people who've been able to gather, you know, fair amount of money and wealth, or people who are in positions of, you know, influence and power and politics and etc. If you're famous, if you're rock star, if you're, you know, Hollywood movie personality, etc. You know, these are the successful people. This is success, right? In our culture. Well, it may be a measure of success in our culture, but again, back to the Bible, that reveals kind of the unseen world. Are these patterns, are these norms good? Or in many ways, are they harmful? Mark chapter 4, 19 comes to mind. You know, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, desires for other things, within the context of the parable of the sower, choke the word, becomes unfruitful. Again, be careful if you're picture of success is more cultural based as opposed to Bible based. So there's a warning there. Here's another class in this second category. False teachers. Invisible. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets, or by implication, false teachers. Ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing. I don't know, I think it was about a year or so ago. If I remember right, brought a lesson about wolves and sheep's clothing, had all kinds of images about, you know, people around you that look normal, look innocent, but underneath there's an undercurrent of potential bad influence. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, in the context of congregational discipline, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Again, hidden. And, of course, in this context, leaven containing yeast microorganisms benefits us in the sense of, you know, bread, etc. But in this case, also has evil influence, spiritually speaking. Jude 4, certain men have crept in unnoticed, ungodly men. You know, that's why I like, and I think it's Virgil, often when he makes his announcements, he'll say something like, you know, if you see something that's odd, or that surprises you, or that's not what you would expect, or you got a question about or concern about, you know, contact, you know, someone after services or whatever, and, you know, we'll sit down and we'll talk about it. Again, kind of being sensitive to the fact that whoever is up here, you know, is not inspired, is not miraculously telling you, you know, thus saith the Lord. You know, we're human. We may make mistakes. We may get something wrong. May say something wrong. You know, it might be inadvertent, but whatever. You know, if it's odd, you know, ask. Again, don't just take it for granted. And of course, that extends to any sort of quote unquote religious leader. You know, whether or not they got a doctor of theology, or whether or not they've got a fancy title on their name, you need to be sensitive. You need to be questioning, because there are, as warned by the Bible, false teachers, false prophets, kind of hidden out there, beyond view. Okay, so that's the first two general categories. You know, the invisible people who are doing us good, we need to be thankful for, and the invisible people who may be doing us harm, we need to be aware of them and take appropriate action. Now we're going to shift to the third category, and this is a little bit more personal, because it's like us, not them. There are times when we need to be invisible. Sounds odd. Not physically, of course, but spiritually, figuratively. When we need to be invisible. Okay, how about this one? When we're tempted to gossip and slander. Okay? I like this image I found on the internet, bottom left corner. You know, if you can't quite see it, you know, one girl is kind of whispering some sort of juicy tidbit to the other girl. What's the other girl kind of saying? Shh. Don't want to hear it. Good old juicy tidbits of gossip. Lots of verses. Proverbs 16:28, Proverbs 28:20, Romans 1:29, 2 Corinthians 12:20, etc., etc., etc. Talks about being a gossip, whisperer, talebearer, different terms, similar application. Where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Sometimes we need to be invisible, meaning not listen to it, not spread it, is the point we're trying to make. How about when our temper flares? Of course, you probably recognize this guy from Inside Out, bottom right corner. Anger. And you know, when you get angry, even if it's for a good reason, you know, you're like a half a step away from saying something you shouldn't, right? And sometimes we get angry for no good reason, too. Ephesians 4, verses 31, let all bitterness, and look, it's kind of almost like synonyms, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you along with all malice. Colossians 3, 8, but now yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, etc. You know, there are times where we may be tempted to be suddenly visible, and I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Oh, yeah. I'm going to lay down. It's like, hold on. Better think twice. Or three times or four times. You know, there may be an appropriate reason to, you know, get angry and yet sin not. Because there's another passage that talks about that. Or it may just be a time just to shut your mouth and be invisible. It just kind of depends on the situation. Recognize the temptation, though, of course. Okay? Other times we need to be invisible. I heard that. Who is it? Gaston? Yeah. Bottom left corner. And of course, if you go back to the Disney movie Beauty and the Beast, you know, the character in that movie, tempted with being proud or boastful or stuck up. You know, I found his image on the internet. Recognize it if you saw the movie. Yeah, he was proud, he was boastful, and he was stuck up. Right? Again, the Bible reveals this as a time or a temptation that we better shut up and be invisible, so to speak. Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goes before destruction. Proverbs 21:24, a proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name, he acts with arrogant pride. Tempted to make yourself highly visible. Tempted to, you know, boast about your accomplishments. Tempted to, you know, say, hey, you know, I'm this great, wonderful person. Look at all this wonderful stuff I've done. Wanting to make yourself a lot more visible. Better think twice. Similarly, doing good works to be seen of men. You know, to be seen of men. Matthew chapter 6. Several different scenarios. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds, and I think that's New American Standard, if I remember. It might be a New King James. Before men, to be seen by them. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, etc. Because what are you trying to do? Well, I'm trying to be visible. Look at me. Hey, I'm great. No. You need to be less visible in cases like that. Okay, so that's the second class, or third group. Third bucket, if you will. You know, when we are tempted to be visible, when no, we just need to sit down and be quiet in many ways. Fourth group. There are times when we need to be more visible. There are times when we need to be more seen, if you will. Letting our light shine. So I was able to get off the internet, and you might not be able to tell the image here. Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So there's kind of an image I was able to find. Some kind of a city structure, I can't tell if that's a castle or whatever, set on a hill, it's well lit, hard to miss it, right? Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Center image here. This is a 3rd or 4th century A.D. Roman lampstand. It's what they use for light. And instead of having it, you know, sitting on the floor or on a table, it's kind of like up on a post. Okay. And, of course, we're talking oil, olive oil type of light lamp that, burns, gives light. The passage in Matthew 5 goes on to say, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I like this 3rd image over here, and it's a little bit difficult to see, but you've got a lot of light bulbs on the floor, and they're all dark. They're all dim. It's kind of a dark world, so to speak. And here's one that's lit, and it's giving off light within this sort of world of darkness. There are times we need to be more visible. I mean, we need to be more visible. Now, this may sound contradictory, because a slide or two ago, I said you need to be more invisible. Do your good works, do your good deeds, not to be seen of men. So, no one should know what you're doing. Not quite, because you also have this passage. We need to be exerting our influence, letting our lights shine in what in many ways is a culturally, spiritually dark world. Not to be seen of men, not to get the glory from men, but so that men may glorify your Father in heaven. We often need to be more visible. Here's another case. Kind of related to the point we just tried to make. But quote unquote a little bit more assertive, speaking out, particularly within our culture, at school, at work, within the political realm, whatever, because after all, Christians are citizens too, being a more, assertive when the situation calls for it. I mean, within discussions at school or discussions at work, there's a lot of, societal or political topics of the day that have a spiritual component, if you will, or that you can leverage to make spiritual comments on. Matthew 10:32-33 comes to mind. "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father, who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father, who is in heaven." Finding an opportunity, inserting a few, appropriate comments, or being tempted to kind of blend in with the woodwork. Be invisible, not seen, not heard. Okay, so there's the temptation to, sometimes not say things we should say in this particular category. Here's another example. And now we're going to pick on the fathers. Okay, here we go again. Fathers as leaders within the family, headship, etc. We fathers, and grandfathers too, need to be visible. The example we set as how men should act, how husbands should act. And of course, I'm thinking around children, I'm giving them an example. How husbands should act, how fathers should act, how people in positions of authority should act. We talk about, God being our spiritual father. How do children come to know how a father is, what a father does, what a father means, a father's attitude, etc.? Well, naturally they look to their dad, their father, their grandfather, sometimes uncles, etc., to kind of get a sense of what is a father like. And of course, ultimately, we talk about Heavenly Father, God, etc. That's an awesome responsibility when you have children. Or grandchildren, for that matter, trying to show the kinds of, headship, leadership, attitudes, actions within the family in all these different roles. Sometimes we kind of sit back and kind of blend in, and we shouldn't. We need to be more visible in those roles. Okay? Continuing on, regarding about situations where we need to be more visible. Within a local congregation. So, some people as an overall pattern, may only come to worship services, one time a week. May arrive late. May leave early. May not really know anybody. May not get to know anybody. May not really interact at all, outside of local worship services. Now, I understand there's certainly situations, extenuating circumstances, from time to time and given certain, extenuating circumstances where, there may be things that from time to time interfere, etc. I understand that. I'm not talking about that. But in terms of the trend, in terms of the pattern, in terms of, they're mostly invisible. So often we'll go over to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, and we'll emphasize the not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some. And that's okay. That's appropriate. But look at the surrounding verse. What's the point? Well, the point is to help us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. To consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. To exhort one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. The scholars, I'm not exactly certain about the day in this context. If it's written to the Hebrews in general, it could apply to the coming Jewish persecution, is not the word I'm looking for. With the Romans coming in into Canaan, into Palestine, and all the political turmoil eventually resulting in the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, and all that turmoil. It might be that. It might be something a little bit more off into the future. But it was something that was coming that needed to be offset, if you will, by exhortation, by stirring up love, good works, considering one another, knowing each other's weaknesses, strengths, etc. Well, in some ways, I'm not certain where our culture is going to go, but we may be facing a day as well in the future with shifting cultural patterns and rising intolerance, so to speak. What's the bottom line? Well, if you're relatively invisible in the local congregation, maybe you ought to think about becoming more visible in terms of worship services, in terms of classes, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, whatever. Getting to know people, getting to understand where they need help. Considering one another to stir up love and good works in the local congregation. Okay. So, can we conclude some stuff here quickly? Certainly there are people we need to be more thankful for who are quietly doing good behind the scenes. Just like we tend to take for granted, electricity, water, sanitary sewer systems, etc., taking them for granted. Don't want to do that. Be more alert to people who are quietly influencing for evil and harming others, just like we have. Infectious diseases and radiation and all kinds of allergy triggers, et cetera, that can be not quite seen, but doing harm. People, classes of people doing that as well. We need to be careful. We need to try to offset that. How about ourselves? Times when we need to become less visible, more unseen, when we need to be, quote, discreet, or exercising self-control, or bridling our tongue. Blending in, so to speak. Not making a scene of ourselves, so to speak. And likewise, there are times when we need to become more visible to exert our influence for good with our children, with our friends, with our co-workers, with fellow Christians. And I like this pair of images because it's the same kind of environment. And if you've been hunting, and I know some of you do, there are times you want to blend in. Let me say it differently. There are times you need to blend in. And there's times you need to be more visible. Right? Easy in the physical realm. Can we see it in the spiritual realm too? That's the question. And that's the lesson for this morning. Now, we haven't really talked a lot about, first principles, becoming Christian, those kinds of things. But you can certainly see kind of the application, a contrast, if you will, with the Bible in terms of, revealing unseen things, beyond the physical
realm, the existence of the supreme being, the Bible and the evidence for the Bible being a reasonable conclusion that it's God's inspired word, that Jesus of Nazareth is indeed who he claimed to be, the Son of God. And the things that should be done arising from those three things in terms of love for God and Jesus and sacrifice, becoming Christian, believing on what we just talked about, repenting of what the Bible reveals as sin, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, being immersed in water, which to many people is kind of a really odd thing to do, physically viewed. But spiritually viewed, you understand its role and its purpose in having one's sins forgiven. And then going on to live Christian life as God would have us to live each and every day. So if you're subject to the invitation to become a Christian, or if you need to confess public sin, or need to ask for prayers or consideration from fellow Christians, you now have the opportunity to do so as we now stand and sing.